Welcome to Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers. Every week, I'll be talking to different business people, artists, sports people, and other personalities about things that they've done in their life and things that they want to do. Join me and dig deep. Welcome to this week's Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers, and my guest is Paul Tilbrook, who's the founder, I guess, of the Undercroft Cafe in Valletta. Do you want to tell us a bit more about that?
Yes, I think my official title is proprietor.
Oh, okay.
Very old-fashioned. The Undercroft Cafe is basically the, we would call it the basement, I suppose, of the church. Mm-hmm. Other people would call it a crypt. In the UK, you'd call it an undercroft, which was an old space that was originally the German Auberge that was built on when the cathedral was built in the 1840s above
it. And this is the St. Paul's Cathedral.
St. Paul's Pro Cathedral, Valletta, which was built in the 1840s, funded by the Dowager Queen Adelaide, who came to Malta when she had been widowed. She was on a tour to get over her husband dying. She came to Malta, went to the small garrison chapel that was here, and thought, this is a very small garrison chapel for a big Anglican community. All the soldiers that were here, the Navy that were here. And she said, well, out of the money she had, she said she would fund the building of a grand cathedral.
How sweet.
Well, she was the Queen of England. She then became the Dowager Queen. And once your part in the royal family is no longer there because your husband has died, she had to find something to do.
Oh.
And she went on this tour. She funded various projects, one of them being St. Paul's Cathedral.
Excellent.
And the Undercroft Cafe has stemmed from the fact that St. Paul's Pro Cathedral is completely self-funded, so it's not funded by the Central Church of England, so it has to be completely self-funding. And as we all know, less people are going to church, which then puts the onus on less and less people to fund a very large property in the centre, in the capital of Valletta. So we have a very large piece of property there that needs constant updating.
And there's a programme at the moment to help with the spire, no?
Yes, the first part of the project was to complete the undercroft, so completely redevelop it into a multi-function community space, which includes a coffee shop, a visitor centre, potential for an art gallery, a shop, new bathrooms, some outside space. So basically completely bring it into the 21st century, where it was languishing as a 1970s kind of mock-up that was only ever open once a week after church for about an hour, and then was completely closed. No one knew it was there. We have 630 square metres of internal space, so it's a huge area. And now it's designed to, one, be used by the community or by any other community activities, but also enables local schools to come and visit and find out the history of the church, why the church was there, what the church had an involvement during the war, because it was a self-imposed air raid shelter
for the local community. Yes, because you've got the space there as well.
People would come there and shelter in the undercroft when there was a bombing raid overnight. So it's a very interesting history, because the building itself is actually the second building. The first building actually did not last very long. The original architect was sacked. And I think he actually then, his future, there was no future. He kind of became an alcoholic and went into a depressive state because it was his first big project. So then they then brought in a second architect called William Scamp, who had been helped on the reconstruction of parts of Windsor Castle.
Yes.
So he was well known to the royal family, and he was brought in to finish this project.
Excellent.
And it sits in the skyline of Valletta. Now behind St. Paul's Cathedral is the Basilica of Mount Carmel, which is built slightly higher than the spire. So if you look at Valletta, the basilica is slightly higher than the spire for, you know...
Isn't the legend to be closer to God or something?
Yes.
Catholics were closer to
yes.
God.
Yes, so they built their basilica just slightly higher than the Anglican spire, which sits in front of it. But it formulates the one of the main views of Valletta is always that view across Merchantship Harbour with the spire of the Anglican Cathedral, the Basilica of Mount Carmel, and then the sprawling view of Valletta. So really the whole part of this project, plus a continuing €3 million project to refurbish the facade of the cathedral, is one, to keep it in its rightful place in Valletta, and is linked in with Valletta 2018 as well,
okay,
where a lot of buildings are being tidied up, brushed up.
And so they should be.
I think there's been a lot of occasions where things should have been done maybe 20, 30 years ago and weren't, due to a lot of reasons. You know, Malta not being, wouldn't have been in the EU at that time, so there was no EU money for these types of things.
So families fighting.
And very similar to the Anglican Cathedral, there was no money to refurbish that church, and it's only now when there's money available through the EU and through government funds and various charitable organisations, that the money's potentially there to do some of these things.
So do you think when they do the new spire, they'll make it a few inches higher?
No.
Ah.
That's not my...
not very sporting.
It would be nice to think, and I'm sure if we spoke to the Restoration Appeals Committee and said, is there any chance we could just add maybe 20 feet? They'd probably say, we're not really sure if that was in the original SCAMP plan. But their plan really is works in tandem with what they're doing in the Undercroft. The Undercroft is more about community and making sure we still remain at the heart of Valletta and that everyone can come in and see a beautiful part of the building now and also learn a little bit about the history. We've just commissioned a 20-minute audiovisual film about why the cathedral was there, its original plans and how it grew there, and also what part it was in the building of Valletta around it, for example, and how it was there as a community space, and people knew it as the English church, basically. If you mention St. Paul's Anglican Cathedral, people look at you blankly. If you say the English church,
people know exactly.
They know what it is.
So is the cafe going to be marketed also to tourists that might want to come in and see a bit of war history?
Absolutely. We have about 45,000 tourists who we can identify come and see the building as it stands
quite a
now. What we're trying to do is give them a little more to see, so a new audiovisual, so they can sit down and either watch the whole film or they can come in halfway through it. It will show some Pathy News footage from the war, also some royal visits, because obviously the Queen has been there, HRH Prince Philip has been there, the Duke of Edinburgh and various other members of the royal family, the Archbishop of Canterbury, successive presidents and prime ministers of Malta as well, and various other dignitaries. So there's lots and lots of footage of them, why they came there, what they were doing there, and also just a general view, some drone footage of Valletta, to so that people can actually see Valletta and where the cathedral stands.
Yes, put it into perspective.
And also just to give people something else to do, because I think these days, if you've got a museum, a private house, a church, whatever, people are not just looking to come and see the building. They always want to see, the first things people look at and tourists look at is, can we go to the bathroom? Is there a shop so we can buy something? And is there somewhere we can sit down, chill out, particularly in Malta when it's predominantly during the summer that tourists are here, when it's very, very hot. People want to sit in the shade, sit inside, get something nice to eat, get something nice to drink, and just chill before they then start to think, oh, we need to go back out into 40 degree heat.
And carry on. So was this something you'd always wanted to do? Because you're heavily involved with the church.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I am heavily involved with the church, as is my partner, but both of our backgrounds are finance.
Okay.
Since I was 17 years old, I worked in finance.
It's a bit dull, no?
It's different when both of you work in finance, because actually you talk about finance a lot. And a lot of our friends work in finance, and a lot of their friends, they work in finance. But it was never my dream, particularly when I came to Malta. We only came to Malta, we came here just less than 10 years ago. We only actually came really for 2 years, just to set up a business here, and then we were going to probably go back to Scotland or the UK. But we decided that Malta was a nice place to stay. It was in the middle of the financial crisis, so being in Malta was actually quite a nice haven during that time.
Rode it out a bit.
And then my partner got a new job working for another much larger hedge fund. He's in the hedge fund industry.
Okay.
And about 18 months ago, just under 2 years ago, this project was coming up. I wanted to kind of move careers, and it was always my dream, it's my passion to cook. You know, I love to cook, I love to bake, that's where I chill out. You know, so if I'm kind of restless, if I'm a restless sleeper and I get up during the middle of the night, you won't find me watching a film, you'll probably find me
baking
cookies or making a cake or doing something like that at 5 o'clock in the morning, because that, and put a little bit of music on, listen to some classic FM, and bake something or make something or make some dinners in advance mm-hmm. for the following week. So it's always been something I've wanted to do, but never really had either the time or the kind of financial opportunity to do it. But now I do have that opportunity, and so it was almost like a win-win. So it gave me the opportunity to do something different and have this project, but also gave my partner, Nadine, the opportunity to part fund this project as well, because obviously the church couldn't afford to fund its own project, so we had to find donors. So Dean and I, plus two other friends, decided that we would wish to pay for the project, mm-hmm. let's say, and then it would be run internally within the chaplaincy by myself.
And then make it happen.
Yeah.
And make all the cakes.
There is going to be an awful lot of baking. You know, we're going to be, unlike a lot of other similar cafes in Malta, that simply, and no disrespect to them, they simply need to buy in from a supplier or a factory-made cake. We're going to make probably about 80, 90% of what we sell in-house.
Okay.
So if you come in and want a piece of cake from us, it'll be a cake that you know was only made yesterday or this morning, or might have actually just been made while you've been walked into the cafe. You know, we might have scones that have actually just been made and you just happen to walk in, or cookies or cupcakes or whatever it might be.
Clotted cream?
Yes.
Okay.
And we've tried to keep it very traditional, because I think people are harping back to that traditional way of being, which is scones and tea.
Absolutely.
And tea in nice china.
And crumpets.
And, you know, tea in a nice china cup poured from a teapot through a tea strainer. That has become incredibly popular, not just here in Malta, but across the whole of the world. Everywhere you go, every single hotel will have an afternoon tea. They'll call it probably an English afternoon tea. Mm. We've not titled ours an English afternoon tea. We've called it more a traditional afternoon tea, but also with some modern twists. You know, it was never traditional to have alcohol with your afternoon tea.
But
if you want to have a nice glass of champagne, then you can have a glass of champagne or an Aperol Spritz in the summer. Mm-hmm. Aperol Spritz is the fantastic accompaniment to an afternoon tea.
I shall take your word for it for now.
Yeah.
And then come and check it out. So apart from this cafe, which obviously now I think is going to take up quite a bit of your time.
It is going to take up a lot of my time. So I'm
a lot of your sleepless nights with your baking and baking and baking.
Yes. It's probably going to be something that, I mean, I already have a lot of sleepless nights waking up at weird, wonderful times to have to take notes about, I just thought this would be a great idea, and I've just thought this would be fantastic. People will really love this.
Mm.
But really what we also want to do, we want to have it's fairly flexible, so that people will come in and tell us. They'll say, we love your afternoon tea, but I wish you could do this.
Ah.
Because in the UK, you have afternoon tea, but you also have something called the high tea.
Okay.
Which is something like, is bits of an afternoon tea, but also involves something that's hot. So it could involve, for example, I don't know, some sort of homemade pie, and then all the afters of an afternoon tea. That has become super popular. But we want people to come in and give us some feedback and tell us and say, we love this, but can you do this as well?
Yeah, this is actually really great for pre-theatre.
Yeah.
Because, you know, theatre starts here at sort of 8, absolutely. Normally 8.30. It would be fantastic to do pre-theatre where you actually get food.
Yeah.
So and you're not eating at 10, 11 o'clock at night.
So it won't only be a cafe, we'll also be, we have a venue hire. So if people are looking for a venue in the centre of Valletta, that has a fantastic space. See, we have up to 630 square metres, so we can do from a 12-person private meeting for a boardroom right up to 250 people for a stand-up drinks reception or a private party, the launch of a perfume, the launch of a wine, the launch of your new
book,
anything.
So after this is up and running, where are you going to take yourself off to? You've got any other trips planned, anything you want to?
We've been meaning to go back to Japan for a long time.
Okay.
We travelled to Japan about 10, 12 years ago when Dean was on a conference with the English Speaking Union. Dean used to be the treasurer for the English Speaking Union in Scotland, so we were invited to a conference in Japan. I went along as the spouse and didn't take part in the conference. We were only there 5 days, but two of my days were spouses' days, where there was myself and about 30 women went on tours of various parts of Tokyo.
And tea ceremonies, maybe?
We went to a tea ceremony. We went and had traditional Japanese dress, kimonos. We had a 17-course Japanese lunch and various other things. It was actually a number one tofu restaurant in Tokyo we were taken to. And after about 8 courses of tofu,
we
wanted to go shopping, to which our Japanese guide said, no shopping. So then there was a revolt. Obviously, I was with 30 other women. and they all revolted and said, we must do some shopping. What do you mean, no shopping? So we actually did what in Japan, it would be the ultimate sin, asked them to stop our lunch there so that we could finish lunch and go shopping.
And yeah, 17 courses of tofu, I think, might be too much.
But there's 30 quite brash women who were desperate to use their credit cards. That kind of, you know, won out.
So was that one thing off your bucket list as well, to go crazy wild shopping in?
I do quite a lot of shopping. Mm. Not very often for myself.
Okay.
Quite often it's for others. You know, it's always for, you know, I have quite a large family. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm always thinking of whose birthday's next. I'm always thinking about anything we need from the house, things that Dean needs, that kind of thing. So Japan was always on our kind of bucket list of a place to return to.
So now you're going to go to that pure holiday?
Absolutely.
Excellent.
And, you know, there are a lot of things on our bucket list that are travel orientated. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're ticking off these boxes.
So, what else have you done that's been amazing that you think somebody else should add to their bucket list?
I would certainly think, I mean, for our first anniversary of our civil partnership, the traditional gift is paper. Mm-hmm. And so I went down the very traditional route and bought Dean a notebook from a very high-end stationer's. Dean gave me an envelope, but inside the envelope was an invitation to join him on the Orient Express.
Fantastic.
So I think if anyone's thinking of any type of thing to put on their bucket list, I would definitely put a trip on the Orient Express. It's a once-in-a-lifetime amazing experience that you will not experience in any other way.
Where did you go?
We did two nights in the Cipriani in Venice, followed by the overnight from Venice through Austria to Paris, and then we got off in Paris and had a tour of the Louvre.
Fantastic.
But if anyone's thinking of something for a big, major wedding anniversary...
Well, just because it's Wednesday.
Or it's just because they feel that they haven't sent their wife flowers enough, or haven't sent their husband, or didn't buy their husband the right gift or whatever, or they're just looking to do something really fabulous.
This is extra brownie points.
And a real proper, it's a proper blowout. You can't think about how much it's costing. Don't think about how much it's costing. And don't try and add up, will we go and have a drink? Just do it, because you'll never do it again. You probably won't ever do it again. I think it's the type of thing that people do once, and then they really love it so much, maybe they think, we'll do that again, but maybe we'll do it again in 10 years' time when we have another big anniversary, or when it's your 50th birthday, or it's, you take your parents on it because it's their golden wedding, or something like that. It's the most fantastic trip. It's not necessarily the most comfortable, because it is a train
it from is a 1920s.
The 1920s, so there are no ensuite bathrooms, but that is slightly the fun of it. You know, when you're standing in the corridor and you know, just looking at the scenery, and you see all these gentlemen standing in the corridor because their wives are getting changed inside, and there's not enough space really for a man and a woman. Two men can change quite easily because all you're doing is putting a suit on, but it's quite difficult for a man and a woman to change in a space as small as a cupboard.
But then while you're dressing for dinner, or while you're at dinner, in fact they're ironing the sheets on your
Absolutely.
On your bed, which is just ridiculous luxury. But
the luxury of it is just beyond anything you'll ever see. Even in some of the best 5-star hotels, you just won't see the intricacy and the attention to detail. And in a train that, in theory, probably 20, 30 years ago, when train travel had gone out of fashion, we're probably just lying,
waiting,
disintegrating. Yeah. And 30 years later, you're now getting back to what was in the 1920s.
And you understand the spirit of luxury.
So that would certainly be something.
Okay.
As I say, most of our bucket list things involve travel. You know, Japan was on our list. Canada was on our list. We went with some friends to visit Lake Louise. And if anyone loves scenery, waterfalls, beautiful lakes, then that part of Canada, so the Lake Louise, Banff
area. What sort of time of year is that good to go to?
After May is the best time,
right.
Unless you want to see Lake Louise completely frozen. It's much nicer, much more beautiful when it's unfrozen.
It's not just a white pool.
But if you enjoy long journeys as well, we drove from Vancouver to Lake Louise, which is about 800 kilometres.
Wow.
So it's long distances in Canada, but you see some fantastic things. You'll be going along the road and you'll see a bear, and you'll have to immediately stop, or you'll then go out of your way to see a waterfall, which is, you know, 300 feet high.
Okay.
You know, so it doesn't have the same type of, for those of us from Europe, unless you're going into the Alps where these things are around, or some of the high mountain ranges, but it doesn't have just so many. There's nowhere really in Europe where you can see 50 lakes in a day, or 50 sets of waterfalls in a day. There just isn't. But obviously Canada's a huge country, and very sparsely populated.
What other things? What other things apart from travel? Is there anything you'd like to learn or see or try that you've, you know, it's always been there and you think, no, because when I stop working, or no, now I'm busy, or no.
Well, we always had this idea, and it's always remained on my bucket list. You know, Dean and I cut a deal quite often that if he gets something, then I get the equivalent. And there was a deal made when Dean bought his new powerboat that I would get a racehorse. I still haven't seen the racehorse, so that's still on my bucket list, to own a racehorse, which is one, because that would amuse my father so much, and he would think that just amazing, because he would just think that was great. So the racehorse is still on the bucket list.
Okay.
There is a cooking course that I've wanted to go on for years, which is at Le Manoir Katzizon.
Okay, in Oxford. Uh-huh.
And every time I say to Dean the cost of it, he kind of slightly freaks out and says, oh, that's fine, and you can go on that course, but you can't stay at Le Manoir, because obviously, and I said, okay. So when I go there, and there's these 12 probably very impressive other people on the course who are all staying there, and I'll say, oh, by the way, no, I'm staying at the Travelodge down the road. So that is on my bucket list.
I would wait till your copper wedding anniversary. You'll probably get that.
Only the full package is on there. So that's still on there. There's also, you know, one of my bucket list items was to meet a very famous chef in the US called the Barefoot Contessa.
Ina Garten.
I have an absolute obsession with her. Mm-hmm. I have all her books. I've made a friend of mine who lives in New York. I had to queue for 2.5 hours to get a cookery book signed that he had never heard of. So I said, but you must get this signed. Mm. Okay, what do I have to do? Stand in a queue for 2.5 hours in Barnes & Noble in Fifth Avenue, get this book signed. Okay, I'll do that. And he still doesn't know who she is. She said there was this little kind of 50-odd-year-old Jewish plump woman.
That's
was that her?
Yeah, yeah, that was her.
So my dream is to maybe go and have a trip to the Hamptons and try and find where she lives and track her down and then just follow her around.
That's a bit weird.
That is a little bit weird. But it's a bit like people who go on concert tours and stand outside, you know.
True, actually. You're
you know,
right,
this time last year we were on a trip to London and we stayed at a very nice hotel, and the same time we were there, Lady Gaga was there, and we didn't know.
Yeah, I wouldn't know.
There.
I would know
and
she was, actually.
We saw the 250 fans who'd been there the whole weekend to see her. Dean didn't even know who Lady Gaga was.
No,
she
I
walked past
know,
us in the corridor. She didn't even
unless she had one of her costumes, then you might
absolutely
sort of take a double
so
look.
Everyone has what they like. You know, my obsession is cooking, celebrity chefs. Not really celebrity chefs, but very good chefs, particularly good TV chefs. Ina Garten is my favourite by, like, a mile. Dean gets very upset when I say, oh, just Dean, can we not go to dinner tonight? So there's a couple of episodes of this I really want to watch. And I, you know, I take them and I look at our books. And it was a dream for me probably to meet her, bump into her in the street and become lifelong friends with her.
Well, you know, it could happen.
You never know. Other bucket list things. I know that we have something on our bucket list, but it's not on mine, but it's on Dean's really. So when you're married to someone,
it's joint.
Yeah. His dream is always to go on Machu Picchu, so go right to Machu Picchu in Peru. So I think eventually we'll do that, but we need a bit of time to do these things.
Yeah, that takes a couple of weeks, I think.
I'm insanely jealous of some of our friends who have been on 6-month round the world trips. You know, our very good friends in Sydney have been on a 6-month trip 2 years ago, and they went to every place they could possibly think of they had never been to and wanted to visit, or ones they wanted to visit again. And that's very difficult if you have, say, 2 weeks holiday. It's impossible to do something.
But maybe
like
something
that
for a little bit further in the
but
future.
Maybe a little bit in the future when maybe I'm kind of semi-retired. What else on the bucket list? I would really like to give a go to running a hotel, having a small hotel and running it.
So I'd get the cafe up and running first and then see, because then it's that magnified.
I have had a few dreams about, you know, church cafe now. You know, series
church
of
hotel later.
Series of cafes all over Valletta next. Because I think with everything, when you start any type of business or anything like that, or even a dream, you need to make sure you want it to be a success.
Of course.
You need it to be a success, just for you. And it's not about the money, it's actually about more of the success, so you can pat yourself on the back and say, actually, I did that.
Yeah.
I did most of that. And I think anyone who has a bucket list aspirations or anything that's on their bucket list like that, they really want the success for them, and it's not necessarily a financial success. And people can put something on their bucket list. I want to go and do a charity run and raise £10,000 for a charity. That can be on someone's bucket list. And if you do that, then you pat yourself on the back and say, actually, I did that. I went out and physically did that. And I think people do that in business, in their life, with their family. You know, the other part of my bucket list is just probably to just make sure that, you know, I still see my family as much as I possibly can. They come to Malta, I go to Scotland as much as I can. I've got a big family and we're all very close.
So maintaining that is very important to you.
It is, and it's also very important for the family as well. You know, they welcomed Dean into our family with open arms 15 years ago. And all that's happened is my mother has now got the fourth son. My mother's got three sons and a daughter. She actually wanted really four sons and a daughter.
Okay. So actually, are we going to say four sons instead of
so, well, three? Maybe that's the case. But she got her fourth son by a civil partnership.
Fantastic.
And so she ends up with her fourth son. So my family all adore Dean, which is really helpful. When you know, and that's kind of part of what happens in life. You know, you want your family all to be around you. You want your family to be all successful. Mm-hmm. As much as they can, or help them to
achieve their dreams
success
and stuff
as well. Because we're all dreamers.
Mm.
I think I'm yet to meet anyone who's not really a dreamer.
And I think one of the lessons you're giving us is actually to not stop, just to keep dreaming. Don't just have one bucket list to
keep
involved.
And it doesn't matter what age you are. You could still be dreaming when you're in your 40s, 50s, 60s,
oh, I am.
Whatever. And you still be something you might want to do. Mm. It might be right. I mean, it might be 25 years down the line, and it might take you 25 years to get to it. You know, this situation I'm in now is probably taking me, I don't know, it's taken me 15 years at least
to even realise it, to get
to it. So my kind of advice to people on that is to just never give up, never kind of forget about that thing you want. Sometimes you just need to shelve it for whatever reasons, but you can pick it up later on and then run with it.
Just keep it as your goal.
You know, it's probably my dream 25 years ago to have a little cafe and while away my hours sitting about pottering about baking and thinking about new recipes and whatever, but it's taken me 25 years to get to that.
Well, I'm really pleased that you're doing it. That's Paul Tilbrook from the Undercroft Cafe here in Valletta. You've been listening to The Bucket List with me, Monique Chambers. Thank you for joining me and my guest on this week's Bucket List. I'd also like to thank Samuel Attard and Carmelo Grec, the engineers for this programme.